invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be in verse 20, but we're going to read verses 18 to 20 to get the Great Commission on our mind. But Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we'll be specifically focusing on verse 20 as we've been kind of working through the Gospel of Matthew, and now here recently kind of taken a bunch of weeks on the Great Commission, and here finally we're going to be finishing out the Great Commission and finishing out the book of Matthew. And it's been a long and good journey together as we've been seeing specifically what being a disciple is all about, right? Who Jesus is, what a disciple is, what are we called to do? And here, of course, it ends on the Great Commission, commissioning the disciples out on their mission. And now, as the book ends, as the Great Commission ends, it really ends on a comforting note. You know, the book ends with comfort. I remember when I was a little kid, I was so scared of new situations because there was so much uncertainty. And, you know, I didn't like to be alone in new situations because it was terrifying. I remember when I would go to the doctor as a kid and I would be really nervous because I kept thinking that I would have to go back to the room by myself, but then I would feel comfort when my mom would say, "Don't worry, I'll go back with you," and then it calmed my nerves. But the truth is, we get comforted by the presence of other people. You think about babies. Often babies cry when there are no parents in the room, when they're all alone, but they're soothed when that parent walks into the room. You know, even as adults, we're comforted when we have others with us, right? Even, you know, you think about going on a far trip. You'd rather have someone with you, typically, so that you have this companion with you, someone to talk with, someone to interact with, and not just, you know, sit there by yourself and make that long trip. This is especially true. You think about big tasks. We'd rather have others with us, right? Because thinking about it's daunting to think about a big task and doing it all alone. We'd rather have someone with us to at least help us or support us in some way, or even to encourage us on to be with us. Well, here in the Great Commission, you think about what Jesus has just called us to. He has called us to this big task. But comes along with this big task is big comfort. He shows us that we will not be alone as we live for Him, as we serve Him in His mission in the world. And so we don't have to worry, we don't have to fear or fret. You know, so we don't have to be overwhelmed by the daunting nature of this task because we have someone with us, Him, and there is no one better. So let's read verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As we think about the Great Commission, you got to wonder, why is it called great? Why is it called great? It's great because it's so important. I mean, the Lord Himself has called us to do this, so how could it not be important? It's His final instructions to His disciples here in the book of Matthew before He ascends. So obviously, it's showing us this is a critical moment. He really wants His disciples, and that includes us, to be about this. He wants us to be about this. But it's also great because it's a global task. He's called us to make disciples of all nations. And so this is not just some little small mission, but really it has an impact. This mission has an impact upon every nation, upon every single people group. But the Great Commission is also great because how in-depth it is. So this is not just a simple uninvolved task. Meaning this isn't just, hey, hand out these pamphlets and walk away. That's all you ever have to do. This is not just, hey, just shoot out some emails. That's all you ever have to do. No, we must share the gospel. We must baptize people. We must teach them to obey and observe all Jesus Jesus' commands. We are called to teach them to be committed followers of Jesus. That takes time. That takes effort, intentionality, and grace and patience, among many other things. When you truly grasp the Great Commission, you realize how big of a task that we have been called to do. Because if you let it, you could easily let the Great Commission make you feel totally overwhelmed and to the point where you say, this is impossible. And yet, Jesus doesn't stop there after just telling them to observe all that he commanded. He doesn't stop there. He keeps going. He adds some final words of comfort, and they make all of the difference. You think about every word in the Bible matters. And these words of comfort, they definitely matter, for they promise his presence as we make disciples. And so let's just think about this short yet encouraging statement at the end of the Great Commission. And so this morning we're all going to just focus on this statement. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Very short, yet very deep. Very important. And so there's some amazing truths in this statement. If you really think about it, so we're this morning, we're going to lift it up and we're going to look at it like a diamond and look at all the various aspects to it. And the first one we see is the certainty of Christ's presence. The certainty of his presence. Because you think about someone being with you, it matters if you can count on them being with you. Have you ever met someone where you never knew if they would come through? You just never knew. They would say that they were going to be coming to something, and then they would never show up. They would even talk as if it's a for sure thing. Hey, I am definitely going to be there. And then you would look around, and they were nowhere to be found. When it comes to people like that, we can become so jaded and not trust them anymore. And the reason is you never knew if today would be the day they would come through. But when we look at Jesus' promise of his presence, it brings great certainty so that we never have to feel that way. You never have to feel that way with Jesus. Just listen to the certainty of Jesus' statement. And behold, I am with you always. Think about that word, behold. Like, why does he say behold? To behold something, when you say behold, you're emphasizing it, right? Because you're saying, this is important. Do not miss this. Think about if a teenager finishes their school project and they want to show their parents. They might bring out their project and say, behold, my project is done. Right? What are they doing? They're drawing attention to the completed project. It's like this way of saying, listen up, pay attention. Do not miss this. Look, see, hear this. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He is wanting to draw our attention to this final word of comfort. Make sure you listen. He wants to see its importance. And so we must pay attention. We must hear it. We must not miss it. Because when the Lord of heaven and earth says, behold, you better listen up. It is time to take note. And so behold, what Jesus says here is significant. But I was thinking, why does he say it here? Because you think about, he could have said, behold, at the beginning of the Great Commission. He could have left it out. But he intentionally says it right here at the end of the Great Commission, right before he talks about this word of comfort. And the truth is, he wants to draw our attention to the promise of the Great Commission. Because it's like he's saying, hey, listen up, pay attention. You can count on this. I will be with you. You see, we can rely upon his presence because we can rely upon his word. His presence is as good as his word, and his word never falters. He has made this promise, and he will never, no, never fail to come through on his promise here. I love how Hebrews 6:19 says, it is impossible for God to lie. Do you see what it's saying? It's saying it is literally impossible for God to lie. He can't do it. Because he is truth. Right? There can never be untruth that comes out of God's mouth. There are many times when people we know, they break their promises and we don't know for sure if we can count on them and come through on what they promise. But when Jesus promises something, you can take it to the bank. Think about the most reliable thing in the world, and his promise is infinitely more reliable than it. You can rely upon him, and that means, guess what? You can rely upon his presence being with you. You can rest assured that he will be with you in your hardest, darkest days and your highest, brightest days. He is with you when the doctor says, I have some bad news. He is with you when your employer says, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to lay off some people. He is with you when the tears won't stop streaming down your face and you do not know what to do next. He is with you when the pain feels like it's too much to bear, even for the next moment. He is with you when the task in front of you looks so daunting and all you can think is, how can I do this? What a promise by Christ. This is truly a promise that you can stick in the pocket of your heart and repeat back to your mind regularly, time and time again, and what a certain promise it is. It is not like a politician's promise. It is not like a slimy salesman's promise. It is a promise from the Lord himself, maker and sustainer of heaven and earth. It's a promise that you can always hold on to and you can feel its reality because you aren't grasping at the air. You are trusting in what is real and true and sure. He is with you. Just listen to Jesus' promise. He says, behold, I am with you always. He doesn't say, I was with you guys. He doesn't say, I may possibly be with you. He doesn't say, I wish I could be with you. He doesn't even say, I will be with you someday in the future. He says, I am with you. It is this present, sure reality. It means present now, not simply in the past or the future, but now. So you think, how does this help us when it comes to the Great Commission? It means that we can be certain that Jesus is with us as we serve him, as we are making disciples. And so we don't have to doubt or wonder, but we can confidently say, he is with me right now. And so we don't have to say, wait a second, I got to wait for him to come. We don't have to say, we don't have to go looking for him. We don't have to wait for his arrival. We don't have to question if he's actually there. He is there. So behold, disciple of Christ, Christ's presence is sure. It is certain. And so we see in this deep, amazing, simple statement, the certainty of Christ's presence, but also, secondly, the comfort of Christ's presence. Because you think about it, matters who is with you, doesn't it? Let's say that you were somewhere and there was another person and they got seriously hurt. And so what you did was you quickly looked around and you said, is there a doctor here? And so someone spoke up and said, I'm a doctor. And so you said, okay, woo, great. Can you help this person? But the person says, no, I'm Dr. Miller, but I only have a doctorate in philosophy. I'm not a doctor in medicine. Would the presence of that person in that situation be comforting? No, right? Philosophy can't help a bleeding person, right? You need a medical doctor. And so it matters who promises to be with us. And here we see, of course, it's Jesus Christ. Note what he says, I am with you. So he didn't say some random person will be with you guys. He didn't say point to someone weak and powerless who will be with us. He promised his own presence. I want you to just think about that. Jesus Christ has promised his presence with us. Remember back to the beginning of Matthew. You have the birth narrative and all that, and you have this statement, this quote really from the Old Testament, but it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And did you notice that? Behold, that's a link. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So as God with us came, what is Jesus now at the end of the gospel saying? God with you will always be with you now. The one who is God promises his presence. But it's not only that, because as we worked through the Gospel of Matthew, what did we see about this Christ, this God who took on flesh? We saw he perfectly resisted Satan's temptations. He is with us. The one who taught with authority and miraculously healed others is with us. The one who rebuked the winds and the sea and they obeyed is with us. The one who demons were terrified of and they fled is with us. The one who could say your sins are forgiven and it happened is with us. The one who could heal by just the touch of his garment and could feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of a bread and 2 fish is with us. The one who walked on the water, strolling along like it was a stroll in the park, is with us. The one who shone gloriously on the mountain with Moses and Elijah is with us. The one who died for us and then rose again victoriously is with us. The great I Am says, I am with you. That's who's with us. To have God with us is the most comforting news possible. We're not alone. And no matter what you face, no matter what we face, we can say, He is with me. He has promised it. He has promised it. He is not distant, but present. He is not far, but near. And so you think about what Jesus' final words here in the book of Matthew are. They are not simply harsh directives. Of course, he gives directives, but they do not just simply end on harsh directives. They aren't words of guilt and shame. He doesn't say, now get to work, guys. All right, I'm leaving. He's not distant. He's not stiff or aloof taskmaster. Because he could have said, hey, I've given you your marching orders. Now go figure it out. Do it. But that's not Jesus here. He ends on these words of comfort because that's who he is. He's gracious. He's loving. He's caring. I want you to, you know, just think about as you think through in your mind of flipping through Scripture and just all the many words of comfort that God loves to give his people. He loves to give words of comfort. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He's the one who says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think about the numerous times he says, fear not, or do not fear, something like that. He is truly the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction. Think also, this is a neat parallel, this is a neat link, is think about in the Old Testament all the well-known commissioning passages. You know, so I'm thinking about when he commissions Moses and Jeremiah and people like that. Think about this and notice how similar they are to the commissioning of his disciples. When Moses, he's called to lead the people out of Egypt, and Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And what is God's response? He says, but I will be with you. Joshua is appointed as the next leader, and God says to him, Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When Gideon is picked to be the leader of Israel, deliver Israel, the Lord says to him, but I will be with you. When Jeremiah, he's set apart as a prophet, and he's saying, hey, I'm too young, and don't really have good speaking ability, and yet God reassures him by saying, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Need I go on? Need I talk about the Israel in the wilderness who's led by God in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? Need I remind you of Isaiah 41:10? "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He promised his presence with Isaac and Jacob, and Moses even refused to go any further unless God's presence went with them. What we need in life is the presence of the Lord, and he has promised his presence with us. He is with us. And so the question remains, though, how can Jesus say this? Like, how can Jesus be present with us if... You see in the other Gospels, right after this, he ascends into heaven. He's gone, earthly speaking. It's possible through the Spirit. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, he's talking about the Spirit and how the Spirit will come, and he's going to be help them and be with them and things like that. He says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." For those who believe in Jesus, they have the Spirit, which means they have Christ within them. This promise of presence is possible by the Spirit. And what a comforting thing to know. And so we have the certainty of Christ's presence, the comfort of Christ's presence, but thirdly, the constancy of Christ's presence. Because as you think about someone being with you, it matters how long they are with you. Right? If someone came to be with you for 1 minute, that would be nice. But it's only 1 minute, right? It's very short. And so they can only help you in a limited amount of time, right? That 1 minute, they're a great help, but then they're gone. But let's say someone came to be with you throughout the entire time that you needed them. Now that would make a big difference. Well, the amazing aspect of Jesus' statement here is the duration of his presence. He says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." So he's saying, "I'm going to be with you always." So not just a temporary amount of time, but a lasting amount of time. So it's not like Jesus says, "Okay, you've got 10 minutes, don't waste them." Right? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "Okay, I'm here, guys, but just so you know, I got to make an appointment on Tuesday, and I got to leave at 10 o'clock. So, you know, make sure, you know, let's take advantage of this time." He doesn't do that. His presence isn't intermittent; it's constant. It's not like his presence comes and goes like a bad internet connection or a bad cell phone reception. It's a continual thing, a constant thing. He says, "Always." What's interesting, as I was looking into this, the wording used in the original Greek, it isn't technically just saying always. But really, it literally says this: "I am with you all the days." I am with you all the days. And I like that, because what is it emphasizing? Jesus is going to be with you each and every single day. All of the days. Day after day after day, he will be with you. Whether it's today or tomorrow or on a Tuesday 5 years from now, or when you're laying in your bed 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries that long, he will be with us each day, each minute, each moment. There won't be a day when he's not with us. He skips no days. He doesn't take a vacation away from us. He doesn't have a sick day or a personal day. He is with us always. Think of any day in the future. Think of any single moment in the future. He will be there. What an amazing thought. Because when you think about anyone else in life, you can't say that. When you think about anyone else, you cannot say that. Because we don't know if someone is going to move away or pass away or be gone for this reason or that in the future. Yet Christ will always be present. Now, if I said I was going to be with you each and every day until next Sunday, that would be nice to know, because I'd be with you for the week. But after the week is over, I'd be gone, right? And yet, look what Jesus says. He's going to be with us always to the end of the age. So he's not just with us, you know, for the days of September or for 2024 or something like that. He's with us until the end of the age. He's going to be with us until the closing time of this age, until it's completed, till it's consummated. As you think about this age, it is characterized by sin and then by suffering, by sorrow, and the whole creation being fallen, but there is an age to come. And it begins when Jesus returns. And so Jesus is saying that during this age, he will be with us. We don't have to worry. Right? And then once the new age comes, we're going to be with Jesus face to face. And he will always be with us forever. But for Jesus to make this promise just reiterates on the final words of the book of Matthew, his divinity. As it did in the beginning of the book of Matthew, showing he is God with us, here it shows us he is truly God with us, promised to be with us into the future, because not any person can just say, hey guys, I'm going to be with you always to the end of the age. Can you say that to somebody? Now you might say, okay, in heaven, but you couldn't say always to that point. Because we are hindered by things not always around. So we certainly can't promise to be with someone to the end of the age, yet Jesus can. Because he's not just your typical ordinary person. He is the God-man Jesus Christ. And it is he who is with us always to the end of the age. And so do you realize really what Jesus is saying here? He's saying the whole time that you need me, I will be with you each and every single day. Every moment that you need me, every day I will be around. I will be there. There won't be a moment that you will be lacking his presence all the way up through the end of the age. You see, what Jesus shows us here is Christ gives us what we need for our mission, his presence. Because this is really, it's given in the context of the Great Commission, is given in the context of calling us to this great mission, and he's showing us we have what we need. Because we have certainly been given a big task, right? A big task to make disciples and to baptize them and teach them all that Jesus commanded, and what an important task. What a big task. I mean, we are impacting. Do you realize that when we are doing the mission, when we are doing the Great Commission, we are impacting people's eternities? Now, of course, it's God working through us ultimately, but we play a part in impacting people. It's a lifelong task, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take effort to lead others into faithfulness and growth in Christ. But though Jesus is showing us we do have this big task, it is important, we shouldn't take it lightly. He gives us big comfort amidst that, because he's promised to always be with us as we make disciples. Like, what more could we ask for other than the presence of Christ as we do our mission? Because he's showing us that he is giving us exactly what we need for the exact amount of time that we need him. And so when you think about the Great Commission, how does this help us? Because it means, let's say that you go up to that person and you're ready to share the gospel, you can conclusively say, I don't have to fear, Jesus is with me. When you're striving to teach others, and it is hard and it is time consuming and all these things, when you're striving to teach others to follow Jesus, you can rely upon his presence, knowing he's there with you. And even if you stood before the highest court of the land on trial for talking about Jesus, he'd be there. You can count on that. In the highs and lows of disciple-making, he is there. In all of the times. So even that means when you're going to meet with someone, to meet up and make and teach them, or meet one-on-one or whatever it may be, you can always be reminded that Jesus is with me. Lord, help me to do this. And knowing that he's with you through it all. In the seemingly chaotic times, in the times of discouragement and times of joy and times of hardship and all of the times and all of the days, He is there. And He will be with you until the end of the age, comforting you and empowering you and with His presence to continue faithfully ministering for Him. And so the question is, then what's holding us back from making more disciples when we know Christ is with us? What's holding you back from talking to that person about Jesus when you can know Jesus is with me? What's holding you back from investing time and meeting regularly with that other person to encourage them with truth or study the Word of God with them? You have the presence of Christ with you. There's a story that Robert Louis Stevenson tells where there's a storm and that caught a vessel off a rocky coast, and it threatened to drive it and its passengers to destruction. In the midst of the terror, this one man made the dangerous passage to the pilot house, and he saw the steerman at his post. And here's a steerman, and he's holding the wheel unwaveringly, and inch by inch, he's slowly turning the ship out once more to sea, to safety. And as this is happening, the pilot looks up at the man, and he smiles. And so the daring passenger runs back and gave out the note of the cheer to the rest of the passengers. He says, "I have seen the face of the pilot, and he smiled. All is well." And it reminds us that as we strive to accomplish the Great Commission, we can know all is well because the pilot Jesus is with us, and He's in command. He's in control. And so we may face hurdles as we're making disciples, that we may face situations that are fearful and hard and even complex at times, but we can rest in this comforting thought: Jesus is with us. The one who died for our sins and rose again is with us. The one who has all authority in heaven and earth and on earth is with us. The one who has commissioned us to this amazing, great, and big task of making disciples is with us. Do you know Him? Have you trusted in Him to be saved? And if you have, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that even in this moment and even in every future moment ahead, He is with you. Let's pray. Your good and glorious Heavenly Father, we know that Christ is with us even now. He has promised it. Help us to cling to that promise, to trust it, to pay attention to it, to always remember it. Because we can trust Your Word. We can trust His Word. And so help us in each moment as we go through our days to remember that Christ is with us. So no matter what we're doing, whether we're interacting with our family members or at work or out at the grocery store, whatever it may be, and even being on mission for You in each of those areas, we can remember Christ's presence. Thank You so much, Lord, that You are a God of all comfort. Lord, You comfort us with so much truth. As we flip through the Bible, Lord, You have given us comfort after comfort on so many of the pages of Scripture. Help us to remember that You are truly that God of comfort, and to draw near to You and love You even more, knowing that You love us and care for us, and You have shown it most magnificently on the cross of Jesus as He died for our sins and rose again. And we rejoice this morning, and we go motivated in the comfort that only You can bring. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.